Howdy. Hi. Welcome to another episode of Validate Me. And if we have an intro, I have forgotten it.
Season three. Whoa. That sounds really loud.
Hi.
Season three of Validate Me.
Yeah.
We're taking the bold move of starting season three before we finish season two.
That is true.
Why are we doing that?
Well, it's because we have to watch a bunch of episodes of Twin Peaks for the last of spoiler alert. The last episode of season two is going to involve four?
At least. Maybe.
Six.
Eight.
Eight?
Maybe.
Maybe eight.
I don't remember exactly.
It is going to involve a high number, a number that is greater than two
of Twin Peaks
episodes.
We watched the last two episodes of season one. Which is what we were expecting to do. And then it became sort of painfully clear that we needed to wrap up the Laura Palmer arc before we wrapped up our Twin Peaks season of Validate Me. The Laura Palmer arc, also known as the good stuff.
Okay.
And so before the whole Wyndham Earl madness launches into chaos. And so we decided we're just going to watch the rest of the Laura Palmer arc and then come. We'll do one episode that wraps up our Twin Peaks conversation at the end of the Laura Palmer stuff. So, and then holidays hit and like all kinds of stuff was going on.
Finals.
And so we didn't, Presley had finals and we ended up not. So we haven't watched all the episodes yet, but we really wanted to get back to having some conversation. And so we're going to launch into season three while we're waiting to finish season two.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about what season three is?
Yeah, this is the second podcast we've stolen from Steve Zaragoza.
It sort of is.
Yeah, in which we're gonna talk. That's it. That's what we're going to do.
Right.
We're going to talk about stuff.
We're going to have just a couple of conversations. Like, just whatever's going on. And I don't know how frequently we're going to do these. We'll figure that out, I think, as we go along.
Yeah.
But it's really going to be just a time for... It's probably...
Family bonding.
Yeah, it's as much a time for Presley and I to catch up on what's going on as it is anything else. And for me to ask her questions about what's going on and pry.
Ask me as many questions as you want.
Because normally
I can't.
For me
to post on the internet.
Most of the time it's not allowed for me to ask her questions
open facade on the internet. I pretend to be a genuine person, so I have to answer all your questions.
But when we're on the podcast, I can ask her all the stuff I want to know that she would never tell me. That she would just tell me to get out of her room if I were to ask these questions at any other time.
So I have my own room now. This is really exciting news. I don't know if you guys know this, but for a really long time, well, I shared a room with my brother for a while, which was bad, because my brother's apparently the loudest sleeper on planet Earth, and so I just didn't sleep. And then I moved into the loft of our house, and I had a bedroom up there for a couple months, which was fine, but it was very open, and everyone could look at me all the time. And I know no one was looking at me.
Right.
But I felt like everyone could look at me, and I kind of didn't like that.
Yeah, like the back of Presley's monitor was kind of facing the loft, like overlooking the loft. And so we would be down in the living room down below where she was, and we could see the back of her huge monitor.
There was nothing for you to look at.
Anyway. I would like stand up to go to the kitchen, and she would be like, "Why are you looking at my stuff?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, how could I possibly be looking at your stuff?"
I moved it, actually. It was originally within the view.
I could possibly see that.
And I want to establish now that
Not to mention my terrible eyesight.
That's fair. I have never looked at anything, like, suspicious on the internet. I don't know
That's totally not true.
Okay, fair.
I don't believe that. Tell me about stuff that you've looked at on the internet.
Well, that's stuff that I'm not willing to talk about. I've never looked at anything that I'm like... Well, yeah, of course I've read and done weird stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
I was a teenager in the 2020s. Like, hello.
Right.
But...
the 2020s.
I am a teenager in the 2020s.
When did the 2020s start?
I will be a teenager in the 2020s. I was going to say I was a teenager in the 2010s, which is inaccurate because I became a teenager in 2018.
Yeah.
I was a kid in the 2010s. I was a kid in the 2010s.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I did weird stuff on the internet. But that's stuff that I like to make fun of anyway. And so I'm comfortable talking about.
Right.
I've never done anything on the internet. I don't think that I'm not willing to talk about, at least as a funny anecdote.
Right.
But I get really anxious about it anyways. Well, I have no reason to be anxious about this. I have never had my privacy invaded by my parents, and yet.
Presley doesn't want us to read her conversations with her friends.
Yeah, you're going to see me making bore jokes. Oh my God, embarrassing.
And I've done that like three times, and all three times I lost IQ points.
Oh my God. Okay. To be fair, that was it. I think the three times you've done that.
We're all dumber for having listened to it.
I think that was not a conversation that I wanted to be having either.
Uh-huh.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I guess it's weird with some of my closest friends, especially because I comfort them
and their cleverly disguised issues. To keep me from ever wanting to read your conversations again.
Yeah, it was. but like, I don't know. I don't want you to read if my friend is like going through some stuff and I'm trying to help them through it. That's weird for you to be involved in.
Hey, I don't want to read that either. So yeah. we're on the same page. Don't.
But anyways, totally I have a new on the room. Same page.
Right.
This has been a really fun tangent. I have a new room and it's where my brother's room is.
Is it possible to have a tangent in this?
That's fair.
Podcast.
It was a tangent from the original point, which was I have a new room,
yeah,
and it's private, and I can close the door. I cannot lock the door.
Yeah.
There's not a lock on the door. That is not by parents' design.
And you
design.
Can't really close the door because the cat is yes. doesn't accept that as a decision.
I love my beautiful boy, and he stays in my room all the time, and yeah, he's here. But my computer's also in my room, which is super epic because I don't like having to. I don't want you to know how late. I play video games.
He'll scratch on the door if he wants to come in or out.
Yeah, generally I keep the door closed so that he can scratch on it. Because even if it is open, he is dumb and will just run into it and it will close. And then you have to go over there and open it anyway. But I have my own room now, and the printer is in my room, which is a bad idea. Because sometimes people just come in my room and hover for up to 15 minutes because they are printing things. And I don't like that. One bit, because I like it's weird to also be like, okay, no one's I have complete privacy right now. I don't know what I'm using my privacy to do. I'm playing Reassembly with my privacy, and then people come in and I always feel weird, and part of it is also just like school related guilt because I just got out of school and I still feel like if I'm not doing homework then I'm being a bad student despite the fact that I'm not in school right now.
What's Reassembly?
It's a video game.
Like, what kind of video game?
It is a video game that is, so imagine if Spore was just the cell stage, and it was good, and it was spaceships. Ooh. Everyone was a spaceship, and if it was good Spore. And it's really fun, and I'm
you
really,
can
really
merge
bad at
spaceships
it.
And make bigger spaceships?
That's not the cell stage of Spore.
Oh, it's not?
No, you destroy other spaceships, and then you get a bigger spaceship, and you get to build your spaceship, and it's really fun, and I'm really bad at it, and a lot of my friends, I have new friends, and they're very cool people, and they're all really, really good at it, and really heavily into modding it, and I bought it, like, on Christmas for myself, and I've been playing it pretty much nonstop ever since, so I can catch up to them. I also bought Bloons, which is the most fun game in the world. And it's really dumb for it to be the most fun in the game in the world because it is a tower defense game.
Bloons?
Bloons.
Not balloons?
Bloons. B-L-O-O-N-S.
Bloons. Okay.
Bloons. All right. And it is a tower defense game aimed towards...
Doubloons?
Sort of, yeah. Okay. There is a pirate monkey.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's the Lemonk game. It's the Uh-Oh Stinky game. And it's really, really fun. And it's just a tower defense game aimed towards children. Mm. And that is a game that I'm actually good at because I played tower defense games obsessively when I was a young child. Constantly.
This
every
is
day
like
of my life.
Your,
Animal Jam tower defense game.
Your Sunday friend and their friends?
Yes.
Primarily?
Yeah, my Sunday friend. That makes him sound like we met in church. They're my Sunday friend. We met at church.
Yeah. Okay, so your church friend.
My friend who, do you want to talk about that right now, what we did today?
Yeah, I assume you were going to bring that up.
I was going to start the podcast by saying that I'm still kind of dazed. So it is Sunday.
It is
Sunday right now. And yeah. Every Sunday, me and my epic pal go to, I'm not going to say where we're going to go. We go to a public location and we do things and we just kind of wander around because we're teenagers and we don't have rights. So we just walk. It's pretty much a mall, yeah. It's an outdoor mall.
Yeah.
And we just wander around to this outdoor mall like NPCs and do nothing the whole time. And sometimes we get boba and that's it.
Yep.
Except today, we decided to make the extreme decision to buy tickets to a movie. And go see a movie today, and that movie was Cats.
Mm.
And we saw Cats. And oh my god.
You have seen Cats.
I have seen Cats. First of all, if you
survived.
I survived. If you're planning on seeing Cats, do not go alone.
How many people were in the theater?
15. Maybe less. Like 10. Right. It was 1:30 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So the people that were there was another group of, millennials, Moomers. Mm. There's some Moomers there. Mm. There were like 5 of them.
Okay.
And then they showed up like during the first song, and so they were late. But so when we bought the tickets, there were only two seats taken, and those people did not show up, so we took their seats because there was no one there.
Were they the best seats?
They were the seats in the very back of the theater, and it was a very small theater, and I didn't want my entire field of vision to be taken up by the movie Cats.
Yeah.
So we sat in the very back.
Okay.
And also, in case one of us needed to, like, leave, we wanted to sit in the back for easy access to leaving the theater. And so we sat in, like, the very, very back. And it had reclining seats. It was a fun theater. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the experience, I think...
Like, could not be further from the truth, but, like, the makeout row.
Well, no, because it wasn't, I guess.
Like the back row of a theater, like a couple of teenagers going and seeing a movie in the, the back of the theater.
I think the whole time.
Totally the makeout row.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. It was like, it was the row with the handicap seats, but there was just no one there. And there was.
In the back? Like up at the top of the stairs?
Yeah, at the top. Well, because it was a really tiny theater, and so it was the back of the stairs. And so at the back of the stairs, there was a group of four seats. Two of them were not handicap seats, and that's where we were sitting.
Like wheelchair spots?
Yeah, wheelchair seats.
How do they get up to the top?
It's. You go down. You don't come in at the bottom of the theater. You never come in at the bottom of the theater.
It's like a sunken theater?
Well, it was on the second floor.
Like the balcony kind of area. Mm. Yeah, whatever. All right.
It was on an AMC. All
right.
On the second floor.
Yeah.
And anyways, yeah, so it was the first row of the theater in the very back.
Okay.
Away from the screen. You come in away from the screen. You don't come in towards the screen.
No, I mean, you almost always come in on that row. That between the front section and the big section that goes up.
Yeah. It was okay. So imagine if a movie theater was just the front section, and that's where we were.
So there were only like three rows in the movie theater.
Yeah, exactly. I told you it was small. It was a really tiny theater because no one wants to see cats.
All right, I'm with you.
Anyway, so
they built the theater small because no one wants to see cats.
No, it's in the theater of shame.
They were like, this movie is so crappy. We're going to build a smaller theater that we don't lose a lot of money on this production.
So what we did do is we showed up.
It's a pop up cat theater.
Yeah, it's a pop up cat theater. So I cannot be late to things ever. And so we got to the theater 30 minutes early. So we ate. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the guy who gave us chicken tenders because he was the coolest. And he gave my friend a discount. Epic.
At the movie theater?
No. We did not get movie theater.
Okay,
we went to CVS and we bought too many snacks.
Chicken tenders?
No. We bought snacks for the movie, which I hid in a fanny pack. And we bought a giant thing of Starburst, which I immediately realized upon purchasing it would not fit in my fanny pack. So I emptied them all out, and now my fanny pack is full of individual Starbursts. And
making good use of your Christmas fanny pack.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love my fanny pack very much. It's actually, it's very convenient, and it goes... I can only wear it if my outfit is all black, but that is already how I dress, so
now
it's okay.
Now you have, like, you always have pockets.
I know.
Yeah.
It's really
convenient.
No matter
what outfit you're wearing, you have pockets.
The outfit I wore yesterday, I had a skirt that had really deep pockets and a fanny pack. It was so storage
I grew up efficient. In the, like, non-ironic fanny pack era.
It's kind of not ironic
like
anymore.
Like the first round of fanny packs.
When fanny packs were like actually really cool.
Yeah, I had like a leather.
A leather fanny pack?
I totally did. I had a really, really nice leather fanny pack.
I have a holographic
and it was the shit. Like people, I got comments on how cool my fanny pack was.
Wow, epic fanny pack moment. Right. I mean, that's part of fashion from...
It probably matched my boots.
But yeah, I was very storage efficient yesterday.
All right, so tell me about Cats the movie. Who's in it?
I'm going to Google the cast right now. I meant to do that because I can't actually really tell.
Because like Rebel Wilson, right?
Rebel Wilson rips her skin off twice during this movie. Two times.
Like shedding?
No. Okay, kind of. Okay, so I need to explain
molting,
Rebel Wilson.
Like the cats molt in this
movie? Only Rebel Wilson. Only Rebel Wilson molts. So I need to explain. So Rebel Wilson is one of multiple cats who have multiple layers of skin for some reason. So there's her and the tuxedo cat, who I can't remember the name of right now. There's a really fat tuxedo cat, and his whole thing is that he's a fat tuxedo cat, and I made fun of him because that's my cat. Except he says in the musical that he weighs 20 pounds. Our cat weighs like 35 pounds.
Our cat's definitely past the 20-pound barrier.
Anyways, so Rebel Wilson, she's a tabby cat. She's an orange tabby cat. And when you first see her, she's just an orange tabby cat. And I need to establish this right now, that every shot in this movie is, like, overtly sexual. It's really, really sexual.
Okay.
And it's really uncomfortable because it is a PG movie aimed towards kids, but every single shot is bad. It's very uncomfortably sexual. Okay. Anyways, Rebel Wilson, we establish this. All these shots are really uncomfortably sexual of her being a cat and lounging around like Garfield. She's being Garfield, basically. So imagine Garfield. And then... she breaks out into song.
But hypersexualized Garfield.
Hypersexualized female Garfield, who has Rebel Wilson's human face. And all the cats have human hands and human feet with no fur. I don't like that they have human feet.
They're like barefooted?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, one of the cats has, what do they call him? I thought they were calling him a slur at first, but I can't remember. Cat and spats. Yeah, he has spats on. And okay. One of the cats has spats.
But bare feet?
No.
And he spats? That's a look.
Like heels. I know. Oh, I should do that next. He has spats on. And he's the same tuxedo cat that I was establishing earlier.
Okay.
He has
spats. Yeah. Gotcha.
But most of the cats are bare feet.
Cat and spats.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, Rebel Wilson. She's here. We open on Rebel Wilson. She starts bursting into songs. I want to say that the two scenes that people talk about all the time are the mice and the roaches. These two scenes happen within 2 minutes of each other in the same number. Mm-hmm. Letting you know this now. Mm-hmm. Also letting you know this now, the roaches that everyone makes a big deal out of, because they're roaches with human faces.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire time that the roaches are on screen, random cats are picking
like
them up.
Like the fly? Are they like little?
Yeah, they're
like
little.
Like CG?
Yes.
They're not like life-sized?
No, like the cats. The cats are not life-sized.
They're not?
No, they're small.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh my god! I totally thought they were like people, like the Broadway show.
Do you think this has any integrity to the Broadway show?
Well, no. But I had no idea. Like I've seen commercials for it. I didn't realize that they were little.
No, the set design is all
like giant sets.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Well, I think all the sets are CGI. Actually,
well, now I think almost the whole movie. You think it's all on green screen?
I don't know, because there's a majority of it is CG.
They're little, like cat sized.
They're not even cat sized. They are smaller than a cat. They are really, really small. I noticed multiple times. Okay, so imagine a pearl necklace right now.
And the roaches are smaller than the cats?
Yes, by significantly.
Oh, my God.
So the cats are, like, this big for some reason. Really good podcast content we got there.
No, you, like, blew my mind. Like, I'm flabbergasted. Like, I'm utterly flabbergasted.
They are small. They're small cats.
Are there people?
No, but. They are in a house that is owned by people. And when they're in this house, so this is the number with the thieves who are calico cats. I don't remember anyone's names. I'm sorry. Yeah, even though the whole song is just them saying their names,
it's like
Rum
Tum Tiger.
Yeah. Literally, yeah, pretty much. Literally, the whole musical is just songs of cats saying their names.
Genital cats. These were like literally genital cats.
They were literally genital cats. Right. I cannot tell you how many times
they heard the Steve Zaragoza bit and they went for it.
Really did. Yeah. They were actually, there were no genitals. However, Jason Derulo said that his actual genitals had to be edited out of this movie. No idea where that was.
So I think Zaragoza, he didn't wear a dance belt. I think Zaragoza and maybe some other people like went to a, like it's already like Rocky Horror status.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
They went to a raucous screening.
We all
of
shouted
cats
at it.
Where there was like lots of yelling and mocking. So that was going on in your theater.
Like, yeah, it was condensed because there were only like 15 people. The most notable thing.
But there wasn't somebody there that was like super into it. It's like, shut up, you guys. I'm trying to pay attention to the
plot.
There
was one kind old lady who was there, and she was just, she seemed mostly bewildered and kind of sad that she was surrounded by teenagers and young adults making fun of this movie.
Yeah.
Because she must have seen Cats during its original run and trying to be wistful. And so I think throughout the most of this movie was met with silent horror because it was the first time most people, I assume, with bigger things, there are people shouting. But the most notable shouting that happened is at the very, very end of the movie. They have this big number about how you should address a cat, right? That's how it ends.
Okay.
And so they're singing.
That's how it ends? How you address a cat?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a good intro.
It's sort of. So it starts with, I don't even remember who it is. I thought that it was Mistopheles, but it isn't. It's one of the guys. It's one of the fucking genital cats.
Yeah.
Is like, the cats have three names. And that's the first song. And it is almost entirely silent. It is almost entirely a cappella, and it's terrifying.
Cats have three names.
Yes.
I really know nothing about cats. Like, I've never seen cats. Like, I've been to Broadway a ton of times. No, I don't want to know the plot of cats.
It's really simple. I'll give it to you in one sentence. So these cats, they're cats, and they have to do a dance battle so that whoever wins a dance battle gets reincarnated. That is actually the plot of the movie Cats in the musical Cats.
So it's like the Warrior books.
Yeah, kind of. except not really at all. But, like, literally, they dance battle in Warriors. Nice. Literally, the plot of Cats is that there's this.
What if they made Warriors using the same technology?
I would cry. Actually, that's the only way you can do a faithful adaptation of Warriors. That's what the Aarons deserve.
That would be awesome.
I would love to see that, actually.
Yeah, okay. I'm stunned
they're
that they're small.
They are small. They are smaller than a cat should be, in fact.
Yeah. But they're
really, really small.
Bipedal.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Actually, through the entire. Okay, I thought that they were going to be on their hands and knees the whole time because throughout the entire first number, they're all crawling around. Yeah. And me and my friend, who I almost just name dropped, oops, were like sharing looks. Like, are they going to be crawling?
I think Hannah Hart did like some video the other day where she was crawling around acting like a cat. I don't know if it was cat related. I assumed that it was, but I didn't watch it. I saw her like Insta with some clips of her like getting a workout being a cat.
So that was that interesting. Sounds like fun.
Like running around like a cat.
She probably did it better than the movie did. But yeah, they're really, really small. They're like, again, there's the scene in the house where she's doing Rob. This is the horniest number in the whole show.
So there's like some West Side Story like dance battle stuff going on.
Yeah, so every cat gets to do
Michael Jackson's Bad.
Yeah, pretty much. Every cat gets to do a dance number. So there's
solo. They're solos.
Yes, they're solos.
Oh, it's not like group gang.
That happens, but it's not supposed to.
Like the Jets and the
Sharks. No, I wish that'd be so cool.
That'd be kind of cool. Okay, so it's more like so you think you can dance.
One kick left for me. Yeah. And so what happens is, yeah, so there's a bunch of cats who are competing to get reincarnated by the old lady cat.
Okay.
And all the cats get their own song. This is most of the
music. Is the old lady cat Oprah?
No. She is some other iconic old lady who is not Oprah, who
I don't
know.
It should have been Oprah.
They have the same energy as Oprah, but I actually don't know who it was, because it's really hard to recognize them if you don't automatically know their facial features.
Whatever.
I'm going to Google the cat.
I'm going to pretend it was Oprah. You can finish telling me the
story. The old lady cat gets to decide.
Is the judge.
Who gets... and she gets to decide who gets reincarnated, and then they go on a chandelier and they fly off into the sunset. And I guess they get reincarnated.
Okay, so if you win the dance battle, your prize is that you die?
You get reincarnated, yeah.
But you have to die, like right then, you die, they kill you, and then you get reincarnated?
You fly off into the sunset in a hot air balloon like, that has a chandelier on the bottom.
Are these cats in the process of dying?
No.
And so they're trying to...
No.
What the hell?
One of the cats... So the fat cat... that I was talking about earlier wants to get reincarnated.
Spats.
Yes, Spats. Yeah. Captain Spats wants to get reincarnated because he wants to be reborn as a skinny cat so he can get fat again. And that's a plot point.
Do you have like control over that, or do you just get reincarnated as whatever?
You get to choose what you get reincarnated at. That's why people want to do it.
Nice.
You don't just get reincarnated. So you get to be reincarnated as a general cat. You just get to choose what kind, I guess.
Okay. Right.
And so I don't even know what the motivation for the other cats to get reincarnated is, because there's Sir Patrick Stewart. Oh my god.
As it were.
Yeah. There's Sir Patrick Stewart. Sir Patrick Stewart wants to be reincarnated, I guess, because he's old.
Like actual Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, actual Sir Patrick.
Patrick Stewart's in this movie?
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart is in this movie, and he is an actual knight, and he's in this movie, and he has to do a musical number in this movie. And it's really funny, because he sings this whole song about basically
how... He's a cat.
He's a cat. No, I was mistaken. He's not the cat that I'm talking about. He's not the railroad cat. He is the theater cat.
But he is a cat.
He is a cat.
And he's dressed like a cat, and he's little.
Yes.
Captain Picard.
Captain Picard. And it's just kind of, it's this area of his face superimposed onto a cat, basically.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and so he's a theater cat, and it's really funny because...
Wait.
What?
Let's loop back for a second on that. Wait, superimposed on a cat. Like, do you...
No,
I get it. It's a person dressed like a cat.
No. It is a human body.
In a cat suit.
Kind of. Listen.
But wait.
No.
Wait. Superimposed. Are you implying it's not his body?
I don't know. I do
that
not know.
That somebody else did his body work and then they put his face on
I am not actually
cat
sure.
Person?
There is a possibility, because the way that everyone moves in this movie is completely and unnatural.
Like
and
dancey,
terrifying.
Though.
And it is a possibility
like
that...
Like super modern dance cat.
Yeah, it's like cat... But like the
Captain Picard might not be able to do.
Yeah. Like, I assume so, because that cat does a dance. But I don't... It's not like a super... It's not really a dance. He just kind of stands there and sings. That cat does. So that might have been Sir Patrick Stewart.
Wow.
Yeah, and so...
I need to look at the cast of this movie.
I'm looking at it right now. It's a star-studded cast. It is
I have no idea.
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart is in this movie. I don't even know who that is.
Okay, and none of them thought, like, oh my god, this is bad.
I guess they already signed the contract. I think so. They made the plot of Cats even more confusing.
Wait, I'm making
an
assumption there. Is it bad?
Yes.
Okay.
they cut out all the dialogue.
Okay,
it's
so
just songs.
Where does it rate against the Emoji Movie?
It is more viscerally horrifying to watch than the Emoji Movie. Mm.
Is it the worst movie you've ever seen?
No. Because the Emoji Movie's quality of writing is worse, because this movie gets a pass from being poorly written because it's just the songs from Cats, and I don't hate Cats. It's not my
favorite
musical.
Did they add
songs?
Like a lot of times they'll throw in a new song or something.
You may not even know
that.
They did not add. I don't think that they did.
Is it the musical storyline?
It is the musical storyline if there's no dialogue. and it's just the songs.
But like Cats. The musical is about dance battles to get reincarnated.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, that's what the musical's about.
I don't know. I don't know why I don't know anything about Cats. Like, I love Broadway, and I've seen a ton of shows.
Apparently, you didn't like Cats because I saw the poster for Cats the first time I was seeing a Broadway show, and I went, "Oh, Cats," and you went, "No."
Yeah, I think it was more that I just never had any interest in seeing Cats.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, it never,
I like it, like, on the costume no design level did Cats it ever really
appear to me. I don't even like Cats.
Oh my god, I don't like that you don't like,
like, I don't know that that's part of it.
Do you know who's the main villain in this movie, Dad? Who plays the main villain in Cats?
I have no
idea. It is Idris Elba. Sexiest man alive, Idris Elba.
I like it.
However,
I like the cast.
Yeah, I know.
You're naming people I like.
However, Idris Elba, I forgot that Idris Elba was in Pacific Rim, and when I watched Pacific Rim, I was like, oh my god, wait, that's Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was Idris Elba. I knew what he looked like, but I never made the connection that it was Idris Elba. Yeah. Regardless. Right. Sexiest man alive, Idris Elba. Was he voted sexiest man alive? Was that a thing that happened, or did I just decide that?
Yeah, they didn't ask me.
I think he was rated in a magazine, or maybe people were in uproar over who did get voted sexiest man alive and decided that it was Idris Elba. Regardless.
Yeah, I can see that.
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Very hot man.
Yeah.
He looks like Jesus in Thor Ragnarok. Yes.
Jesus was in Thor Ragnarok?
He looks like Jesus when he was in Thor Ragnarok. Because he was in Thor Ragnarok, the movie Thor Ragnarok. He was in that.
Oh.
And he looked like Jesus when he was in the movie Thor Ragnarok.
Wow. That was a very complicated reference. Okay, I got you.
Idris Elba. Okay. He is the main... Idris Elba and Sir Patrick Stewart both don't really look... Sir Patrick Stewart more so looks like a cat. Idris Elba looks like if Idris Elba was wearing a hat with cat ears and a coat.
Like your derpy hat.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah.
You won a trophy with that hat.
I did win a trophy with that hat.
You got a best costume at a brony con.
Oh,
like, that's pretty solid.
Deep memes, but
you,
yeah.
You went to a brony convention and you won the costume contest.
I did go
contest.
To a brony convention and win a costume contest. Yeah. Huh.
So that don't be deep knocking. Lore.
I'm not knocking bronies.
Your
I respect
derpy hat.
I respect it. Yeah. Anyways. However, I haven't watched My Little Pony in like 19 years. Yeah.
I like Derpy.
Yeah. Regardless, I don't even remember what it's talking about. Idris Elba is the villain of this movie.
Yeah.
And it's a movie. And Sir Patrick Stewart, that's what I was talking about. So Sir Patrick Stewart has this great musical number. So he's the theater cat. Each cat has kind of a brand, you know?
Mm.
And so he's the theater cat.
Mm.
And he sings a song about how the integrity of theater is being lost. Like, yeah.
Nice.
I was like,
a little meta humor. No,
I was like,
show.
Yeah, that's just Sir Patrick Stewart. They also have Neil Patrick Harris in this movie, and Neil Patrick Harris is in this movie for about 5 minutes.
You keep naming people I like.
I love Neil Patrick Harris, and when Neil Patrick Harris started singing, me and I think 3 other people just gasped, just like, because I didn't.
Dookie can sing.
Oh, yeah, I love Neil Patrick Harris. I know who Neil Patrick Harris is because I was first introduced to him in a musical. Anyway.
Sing-along blog?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And so, Neil Patrick Harris is in this movie. All of us immediately recognize Sir Patrick Stewart. We obviously recognize Sir Patrick Stewart and Neil Patrick Harris.
Mm.
Both Patricks.
Mm.
Confusing. And he is exclusively in this movie to introduce
Was Anderson Cooper in it?
Yeah. He's exclusively in this movie.
I mean, that seems like the same group of people.
Yeah,
that,
right?
Like, yeah.
He's only in this movie to introduce the railroad cat, and then he vanishes. And he's like he was in this movie for like less than a minute.
Yeah, I'll have to look at like cast pictures. I want to see all these people as tiny cats. I had no idea they were little. That's
yes,
awesome.
Yes, they are little.
I want to go see it now.
Okay.
You want to go see it again?
Okay, God, I will see it again with you exclusively so you can make fun of it. I want to see it again now that I know what so that I can actually pay attention to what people are saying because I didn't understand a word spoken in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All song?
Almost all song.
Okay.
There is like, I think, a couple spaces for dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are very short. And then there's like 5. So there's the song about robbing a house.
Okay.
And there's a song about robbing a house. And then.
As cats.
And, yes.
Breaking in and.
Yes.
Breaking and
so
entering and stealing
the twin
stuff
calico
from a house.
Cats, who are twins, I think. And then.
Wait, the twins are twins? Is what you're saying?
But I'm not sure if they're twins or if they're just both calico cats.
Okay.
Because the way that this movie is framed, they were both overtly sexualized, and it was kind of implied that they were about to have a threesome with the main character, but...
Rebel Wilson?
Rebel Wilson is not the main character.
Oh,
nor is she.
You said calico.
Rebel Wilson is a tabby cat.
Oh, tabby. Okay, sorry.
Get your cats straight.
Yeah, I don't
so
care.
Two tabby cats, and they're with the main character, who is played by an actress who I did not know, but she has this permanent expression of worry on her face. She always looks...
Kate McKinnon?
Yeah, Kate McKinnon. Why are you just naming gay? This movie did kind of say gay rights. I'll talk about that later. There are lesbians in this movie a little bit. Okay. The main character of Cats is a lesbian. That's my conspiracy theory. But I need to talk about Rebel Wilson because I didn't even get to finish talking about Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're robbing this house. And then there's the main character, whose name is Vanessa, I think. And then there's the love interest, who's the magician cat. Okay. Who I think is the love interest. I mean, he's framed as a love interest in every way, but they're cats, so they don't, like...
They're not monogamous?
I guess they're not monogamous, because everyone makes out at the end in cat terms. Because, like, I thought... So there's this moment where the love interest...
In cat terms? Is that what you just said? What does that mean?
Okay, so I'm explaining. There's a scene at the end of the movie where it was just framed, like, you know, like, when the guy gets the girl in a movie, and then there's this... And it's, like, framed like they're kissing, and they rub their cheeks together because they're cats. And it is framed basically like, hey, the love interest and the girl got together. Wow.
Sure.
And that's how it's framed. But then at the end of the movie, literally everyone starts rubbing faces with each other. Mm. So I don't know how to interpret that. But, like, the only other time it's individual and it's not everyone doing it is the girl who sings Memory. I can't remember the name of her. I can't remember her name, and I feel really bad because she's famous.
Yeah.
The girl who sings, the cat who sings Memory and the main character also do that. And so that's why I'm saying lesbian rights.
Adele Dazeem.
Who's in this movie? Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, Jennifer Hudson. Okay, I know Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Wait, was that Ian McKellen and not Sir Patrick Stewart? I'm sorry, they have the same face in my head. I'm so sorry. Wait, no, but I talked to my friend with it. I just looked at it and said Ian McKellen. Wait, what? I was talking to my friend and we were like, yeah, that was Sir Patrick Stewart in that movie.
Gandalf.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, very different.
They have the same face, though. They look the same, and I apologize.
Not Captain Picard, Gandalf.
They look the exact same, and I apologize.
So do not.
They so do. They are the same person.
0%.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same face.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, okay, so the main character is actually played by a dancer, and I think a couple of the other cats are played by dancers, and then everyone else is a celebrity, basically. James Corden is in this movie.
Okay.
James Corden is the cat with spats.
Nice. Oh, what about the guy that did the cameo in Game of Thrones?
Ed Sheeran. Oh my god, I wish Ed Sheeran was in this movie.
What the hell happened to Ed Sheeran? Is he still out there doing stuff? I haven't heard any. Yeah, I don't listen
to
the radio.
He's one of the most famous people on...
He's still got songs on the radio and doing well and stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
I feel really bad because I really want to like Ed Sheeran.
I didn't really like his second song. The radio play song. Like, whatever it was. I kind of liked the first one.
Shape of You? You liked the way that I like the guitar in Shape of You. I think that's what you're talking about. You liked the guitar in Shape of You.
Yeah.
But you didn't like Perfect.
It was like a very throwbacky kind of song.
I had no idea.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't like it. I don't like
Perfect. I want to like Ed Sheeran because he seems like a really, really nice, genuinely cool guy.
Sure. No comment on Ed Sheeran as a person.
I think Ed Sheeran seems like a really nice guy.
I didn't like that second song.
And I really want to support him, but I can't stand his
and
music.
I did not like his Game of Thrones cameo.
Shocker.
I was not impressed with him showing up in Game of Thrones.
Jason Derulo's in this movie, in case. I already mentioned that. I don't think that... There's a cat named Socrates in this movie? Who's Socrates? Socrates himself is just in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways,
I think it's the same guy that played Socrates in Bill and Ted.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, T.S. Eliot wrote
so
the movie.
Crates.
Yeah, pretty much. Judy Dench is the old cat, old Deuteronomy.
Oh,
that's Judy Dench.
Judy Dench plays Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even remember what I was talking about. This is such a convoluted movie to describe because it also makes no sense. They're breaking into the house. That's where I was. They're breaking into the house, and the main character is really sad and confused. And she and, oh my god, not Machiavelli. That's the name of a YouTuber that I like. The magician cat. Sorry. Machiavelli. I know, I said his full name, too, which is really weird because he goes by Mac, but it's fine. I mean, I don't know him, by the way. I talked to him once, and I said that I liked his videos. He was really nice. I can't remember. Not Macavity, Macavity.
Yeah, whatever. They're breaking in the house.
They're breaking into the house.
They're singing a song about breaking into houses.
So they break into the house, and there's this... So they're
How
in
do they
bed.
Break in?
They go through a window.
That's open?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
They just go through an open window. I think they also... No, they don't break into the window. I think the window is broken at some point in the song because the main character is bad at breaking into a house. Mm. But everyone, they're good at it. And they're like, we're the best cat burglars in the world. And so they break into the house and they steal a bunch of stuff from the house. Steal a bunch of food. And that's the one screenshot that I got really outraged about where it's the main character and she's holding a knife and fork and grinning wildly and slamming it against the table. I got to see that.
Okay.
They steal a bunch of food from the house. They also steal a pearl necklace, and they put it around the main character, and whose name is Vanessa, I think. Mm. And the pearls are, like, this big on her, which is right. not how big they would be on a cat,
yeah.
but it's fine.
Sure.
They're really yeah. big.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, dance in a bedroom for a really long time, and they all kind of, like, fall onto a bed, and it's really weirdly framed, and I didn't like that part one bit.
Like a giant bed.
Yes. It's yeah. huge. it could not be bigger. And so, and then there's a dog. This is the scariest part of the movie.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Because you're thinking that you're about to see a dog with a human face.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
And you're filled with so much fear. And the dog starts barking. And this is the most fear I've ever experienced in my entire life. But the dog is never shown.
Oh, interesting.
You never get to see the dog.
Okay.
But there is, it is implied to be a dog.
Hmm.
And so the two thief cats run out the window, and then the main character gets stuck on a door because she's wearing a pearl necklace, and she's like, and she's also like somehow chained. There's like a chain somehow.
Mm-hmm.
She's like chained to a drawer,
mm-hmm.
and she's stuck. And the two thief cats are like, "Peace out," and they jump out the window. And they literally do like a sorry, and they leave. But then the magician cat jumps in through the window, and he's the love interest, and he's like, "Boom! I'm here. I'm the love interest. I'm gonna save you from the dog." And
does he do magic?
Yes, lots. Well, actually, no. He doesn't do magic until the very end of the movie. There's nothing to establish that he's a magician until the last number of the movie.
Yeah.
Until, like, where he does do magic, except people saying that he's a magic cat.
They call him the magic.
Yes, he's magic. And so this is the only instance of him being a magician besides like his
David
number.
Blaine?
No, he's actually magic. No, he's actually magic. He teleports people.
Oh, holy shit. Like, real magic?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I thought you meant like he did, like, sleight of hand.
No. Like also, in this movie, this is not explained at all. Idris Elba can vaporize people.
Is that your card magic cat?
No. Idris Elba can also vaporize people. Oh. And it's never explained.
People or cats?
Cats. Sorry. Just vaporize cats, and it's never really explained.
Mm.
And it has no warning, and it is a, like, 5-second shot when it first comes up.
Yeah.
So someone's doing a musical number, and then it cuts to Idris Elba and one of the contestants, and then he says, like, I don't even know what he says. He says a magic word that sounds like Lamunk.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Lamunk. And then that person just vaporizes, and it cuts away, and it is never talked about until, like, 30 minutes later.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Anyway.
See, there's a person that needs the reincarnation. Token, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I wanted Idris Elba to win because despite the fact that he's evil, he had the best musical number.
Oh, wait, he's in the competition?
Yeah, he's also he's vaporizing the other contestants so that he has to be reincarnated.
Well, they have to reincarnate. Seems not fair.
Well, yeah, that's probably why he didn't win. He also drugged everyone, so that's probably why he didn't win.
Well, don't spoil it.
It's too late for that. Anyways, yeah, also half the movie is a competition, so it's not a spoiler.
Does it just happen once or like every week?
Every year. Yeah,
one cat gets to be reincarnated.
The whole opening song, they're like, we're the Jellicle cats, and once a year there's a Jellicle ball. Literally everything is Jellicle.
Mm-hmm.
The word Jellicle is attached. Yeah. Jellicle is a made up word, by the way.
Right, yeah.
The word Jellicle is attached.
T.S. Eliot, right?
Yeah, T.S. Eliot made the word Jellicle up.
Yeah, sure.
And it is attached to literally everything.
Yeah.
Literally, there is a song, and it is a very emotional and deep song, and they're like, look at the Jellicle moon and the Jellicle sky.
Jellicle cats.
That's just what it sounds like.
Right.
They are Jellicle cats, and the word Jellicle was said at least like 900 times in this movie.
Okay.
It is said all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway,
So there's a Jellicle ball.
There's a Jellicle ball, and it happens once a year. And old Deuteronomy gets to choose who gets sent to heaven, I guess.
Wait, so. Oprah Dench is Deuteronomy?
Yes.
Oh, all
that's
right.
Who old Deuteronomy is. She's
right.
The old cat, and she
yeah,
gets
yeah,
to choose.
Whatever.
I don't even know if... Right. I think he might have been a guy in the original one, but
yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Sure. I think it was. I think even maybe Darth Vader voice played him
oh,
at some point
sick.
In time. Yeah, yeah.
James
Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. The love interest is breaking into the thing. We're going back to the house.
Yeah.
We're still in the house.
Yeah, all right. And the magic cat shows up.
Yeah, and the magic cat shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm the love interest. I need to figure out who plays the love interest, because he looks reminiscent of Robert Pattinson, but I know he's not Robert Pattinson.
Oh, that would be funny.
I wish it was Robert Pattinson so much. Laurie Davidson.
Okay, whatever.
I know Laurie Davidson's face. I do not know what Laurie Davidson was in.
Okay.
He played William Shakespeare.
The Laurie once. Davidson shows up.
Laurie Davidson, who is the magician cat.
Yeah.
And he breaks her out of the chain thing that she's in, and then they were running up against the door, and they're trying to push the door closed before the dog gets in.
Mm.
And this is scary because you think that you're about to see a dog with a human face.
Mm.
Not because it's suspenseful because you want to see the cats in danger.
Yeah.
But because you're really afraid you're about to see a dog with a human face. It's really big. and they can't push the door closed because they're both very small cats. Mm. And they struggle against this door for like a minute. And then he takes off his top hat. His top hat is furry, by the way. Mm. He takes off his top hat, he pulls out a chicken leg, which is the size of him, and he throws it out the door, and the dog runs away, and they close the door. Because I guess the dog was against the door. And that is one of the only instances of him doing a magic. And then, the song ends. This is happening with the song. This is preceded by 5 minutes, at least. Probably, I think it probably wasn't 5 minutes, but it felt like at least 5 minutes. It felt like an hour, but it was probably like around that. Of just heavy breathing. I'm not kidding. They slump against the door, okay. And it is like 5 minutes of them going, like, it's so long, and doing nothing, and the shot doesn't change. Right. It's just them against the door, and then they have, like, a conversation that lasts, like, 3 seconds, and then that's the only speaking in the movie. And they go back to being in songs. And I can appreciate that it's all songs, I swear, there must have been dialogue in the stage production, because the stage production is longer than an hour and a half, and it like establishes things. Yeah. Like it's so confusing. It's more confusing than the stage production.
Yeah, like you need to know the story before you go into it.
Yes, and I knew some of the story, and my friend just like had to keep asking me questions because like I don't know the answers to.
Yeah, right.
I have brief experience with the plot of Cats because I thought it was dumb. Nice. Anyway.
So does it make you want to see the
Broadway show more or less? Yeah, it actually does make me want to see it more because I want to see it done well. Hmm. I don't even remember what I was talking. Oh, Rebel Wilson. Let's talk about Rebel Wilson briefly in this movie because she can take off her skin and it's never explained.
Yeah.
So you got Rebel Wilson 1, which is her Garfield skin. And then just like in the movie, she can just tear it off and she's wearing a purple costume, like a dancer costume that has like frillies stuff on it. Also, Rebel Wilson just makes cat puns the whole movie and it's never
explained. That's good.
Yeah, but, like, that's not in the production. And that's, again, some of the only dialogue is Rebel Wilson making cat puns that were not in the stage production and are bad. Like, she's just basically saying things that have the word cat. She's like, the only cat production, the cat pun in the original production is during the first number, the main character just doesn't really speak throughout most of the movie, actually.
Cat got your tongue?
Yeah. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And they say it really menacingly. Also, whole first thing, most of the characters are talking to the camera. Everyone is crawling on their knees. The lighting is really dark and it's horrifying. And also, they're all surrounding the main character and, like, dancing around her. And it's focused on... And it feels like they're looking at you and it's bad. Anyways, yeah. So, that's the only cat pun. But then Rebel Wilson is like, don't mess with the crazy cat lady. Just, like, randomly. What? It doesn't make sense.
She's like trying out catchphrases to see if one of them,
clicks. That's what Rebel Wilson's doing. And it is, I want to say that Rebel Wilson tearing off her skin is used in a climactic moment because Idris Elba disappears. And Idris Elba is keeping her captive because she's trying to be, I don't know why she's trying to be reincarnated, but she is. She seems she has a really good life. She's training these roaches and mice to sing and dance for her so that she can win the Jellicle Ball. And she's just kind of like a house cat.
Like backup dancers?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
She has roaches as backup. She has roaches. Nice. And yeah, I cannot stress enough that almost every time the roaches are on screen, there are people just eating them. And they are still human-shaped. And they are very small. And they're just being eaten. And Rebel Wilson, throughout her whole number about how she's trained these roaches, just keeps picking them up and eating them.
Yeah.
And there's a horrible crunch sound. By the way, the sound
Jabba
design...
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
The sound design in this movie is very bad.
Mm.
It's very bad. Mm. Which is bad for a musical movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, so there's, like, the motif for the Jellicle Cats and the Jellicle Ball. The Jellicle Ball motif is the most important one.
Mm-hmm.
Happens a lot throughout the musical. Mm-hmm. Happens a lot throughout the movie. However, for some reason, they made it a MIDI file. It sounds so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So unbelievable. Like, it's synths. Because the musical is very synthy.
Yeah.
Because it was made in the 80s. Surprise. But, like, it's just so poorly done. It's such a poorly done rendition of the motif, and it sounds literally like it was made in a MIDI program.
Right.
Bad. Right. It's bad.
Right. Yep.
And so, yeah, Rebel Wilson can tear her skin off, which is not comfortable. And then the cat in spats is wearing a tuxedo, and then he rips off the tuxedo to reveal that his fur is patterned like a tuxedo, and I have no idea why they made him wear a tuxedo.
Interesting. So
he has, just like the collar part of a tuxedo, like, over his fur.
Mm-hmm.
And he has that on.
Like a dicky kind of thing?
Yeah, he's basically wearing a dicky.
Yeah.
He's wearing, and then he just rips it off in a climactic moment, and his fur is just that pattern, and then it's not even a climactic moment. It's just like during his musical number,
right.
He goes whoosh, and then it's just his fur is just that anyway, yeah. And even has like little button spots.
It's like when you take off the sunglasses and you have sunglasses on under them.
Yeah. But it's like if your eyes, if you had face paint sunglasses on underneath, your sunglasses.
Sure. All right.
That's Cats the movie. I can't stress enough how just everything I said has the most sexual undertone.
But, like, strangely enough, this has made me want to go see it.
I know, yeah. Which is weird.
This has not talked me out of wanting to see this movie. This has made me actually want to go check it out.
If you see this movie, see it with friends. Yeah. 100% see it with friends. And then, and at the very, very end of the movie, there's this music, there's a number, and they're like, how do you address a cat? And it's like, don't call them a dog. Really weird way to end a movie, or a musical. But Andrew Lloyd Webber can do what he wants, I guess. And so
they have three names.
Yeah, they have three names. They have the three names. They have the one that their cat calls him, and that their cat calls him. Their owner calls them one name, and then they have, I don't know what the third name was, I think. I think I was not paying attention because mm-hmm. I was in horror because it was the first musical number, and this is what we opened it on.
Yeah.
I want to, also, this experience was prefaced by me and my friend getting to the movie theater way earlier and sitting in a dark room with nothing playing for like 30 minutes.
Right.
So it made it all the better.
Was there a stinger?
No, I don't know. Actually, I don't know because the second, so it cuts to black, there's a gasp, and it says, director Tom Hooper, and me and my friend bolted out the door immediately. Nice. Didn't watch the credits.
Yeah.
Don't know if there was a stinger. If there
like
was,
an audible gasp from the audience or on the screen?
No, from the audience. From the audience. No, because someone shouted the second, so we think that song ends, and then again, it's prefaced by, what's the opposite of prefaced?
Followed?
Yeah, sure. It's followed by another, minute of uncomfortable heavy breathing. Mm. I don't know why they end a lot of songs like that before any dialogue starts. Mm. And then it's that, and then it's, this whole theater is anticipating the end of the movie. And then they start singing again, and someone shouts, "Why isn't it over?" at the top of their lungs. And then the second it was over, there was no clap. There was, no clap, but there was a sigh of relief, and everyone booked it immediately.
Nice.
And then me and my friend had to go stand in a Lush for 15 minutes to recover, because that's where you go pro tip, if you're ever having if you're ever having a mental breakdown and you need to leave, go to a Lush and just stand there. It will help. I don't know what it is about Lush, but it has a regeneration effect. Stand in a Lush, let the lady help you try the hand cream. It's good.
I thought your pro tip was go to the bottom of the deep end of a pool and scream.
Both. If you've ever listened to that one Front Bottom song, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. It's not about Lush. It's about swimming pools. That'd be really funny, though.
Okay. All anyway, right. Good times.
That was Cats. That was my talk about Cats the movie.
I'm glad you got that out.
What invasive private questions do you have for me?
No. I've got some topics that we're probably going to have to put off a little bit because the Cats thing went a little longer than I thought it was going to.
It's a lot to handle.
That was pretty good. Do you have something on your list of stuff that you wanted to hit that's not hugely long?
Because I just talked about cats for an hour.
Yeah. I mean, the second thing I was going to ask you about will probably take as long as the cats conversation. So I don't know if you want to launch into that.
Why not?
Well, I was gonna give you the opportunity here. I'll throw a couple out.
Okay.
So I've got. We can talk about some of your work stuff, like talking about the horror short.
Okay,
I thought it would be a fun conversation. Yeah. I wanted to have a conversation about college versus high school stuff. Okay. Like what you're thinking about college and how that kind of stuff's going and independence and stuff, but that's kind of a longer conversation. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about MCR.
Oh, no.
Reuniting.
No, we're going to need a whole podcast for that one, babe.
Because that seems like that's probably going to take a little bit longer.
And being witnessed, by the way, this podcast, for you, those of you listening, this podcast is currently being watched by a poster of Gerard Way and then a little cutout of all the, that one Polaroid? You guys know what I'm talking about if you know MCR. There's a Polaroid that they sent with the Danger Days stuff. And I printed that on photo paper, and it actually printed very, very small, and so I cut them out, and they're on my desk now.
Nice. And then I've got a couple of questions about cancel culture.
Okay, why don't we ask those questions right now?
You want to talk about cancel culture?
Yeah, a very great thing to follow cats with.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. So, I have some curiosity. I've been thinking about this a little bit recently, and I think your generation is way more into cancel culture than my generation was.
Fair.
I think that, and
you're like a boomer.
Like, so. I'm not a boomer.
I know you're not a boomer.
My
parents. I can't call you a zoomer, though, because you're not Gen Z. I don't know what to call you. A zoomer with an X.
Yeah, that's right.
Zoomer.
Even my parents were even more so, right? And their parents. Like, yeah. It seems like not all that long ago, right? And this is especially true, like, in entertainment or even just profession in general, right? Mm-hmm. Your capabilities at your profession were divorced from your qualities as a human being, right?
I suppose.
And so if you were good at doing your job, then it didn't matter if you were a jackass, like, in your day-to-day life. That as long as you did your job well, and that was fine, right? Mm-hmm. And so even, you know, longer ago than, like, my time, you know, like, the press wouldn't even cover, like, scandals. And controversies in a lot of ways, right? You know, because in some ways it just kind of didn't matter, right? Yeah. It was gossip. And what mattered is how well that person was doing their job, right? Yeah. And then when I was a kid, you know, we had actors that would go on benders and do crazy stuff. You know, Robert Downey Jr. had his tough times.
Oh my God, it's him. He's stuck.
When I was a kid, like, waking up in somebody else's house.
Now.
You know, that's a pretty extreme place to go. Yeah, like, he went on a bender one night and then, like, broke into somebody's house and went to sleep on their couch.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
and
I was
so, like, you come out in the morning and Robert Downey Jr. is asleep on your couch.
That's how most fan fiction starts. And so, I don't think it's weird.
And there was a lot of...
Like, you woke up in someone else's house. I was like, that's not weird.
No, like,
drunk.
Yeah, like, no, some people he didn't know. But he was doing... Like, stuff was way out there and he was doing crazy stuff. And then people who had, like, weird stuff in their personal life... Mm-hmm. But they were really good actors, or they wrote really great books. Like, you know, there's a history of the troubled author that, like, people who were super problematic and did these terrible things, but they wrote these amazing books, or they made these amazing, like, people who were terrible to work with. Like, there were people that were horrible to work with, but the product was amazing, like, when it came out and when it finished. And so, like, it changed to the point where, like, we became aware of it. Like, I think a lot of times, like, my parents weren't even aware of their idols, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
What's interesting about it is that you guys were aware of it. And you were like, it's fine.
We became more aware of it, but it was like, oh, whatever. Like, that doesn't matter. His movies are still good, and so I'm going to watch his movies. And then, like, you guys have become much more like, oh, I really, really love that thing, but I just found out some stuff about one of the people that's behind it, and so I'm going to stop supporting it, stop watching it, and stop doing it. Like, that's a different step. And so I'm really curious your thoughts on how that has transitioned.
For me, okay, so first of all, I think also I would just want to say that the social climate in the past was worse than it is now.
I think about Dirk Gently.
Oh, Max Landis?
And you've kind of come full circle on that kind of stuff.
Well, Max Landis isn't getting any money from it anymore, and he is not involved in it. So also... I can't remember the last name of him.
Because you loved Dirk Gently.
I still love Dirk Gently.
But then you didn't.
I was just really sad about it. You wouldn't
have anything to do with it.
Yes.
Because of Max Landis.
It came out that Max Landis actually really didn't do anything on Dirk Gently. Right. Like, he didn't actually He mostly produced it and claimed to be the director and writer, while a bunch of other people were basically doing all the work that he said he did.
Yeah.
So he didn't make it, which means... Okay, so part of my... issue with this. I'm going to use H.P. Lovecraft as an example, because we all love H.P. Lovecraft, huh?
I mean, we all love the idea of H.P. Lovecraft.
We all hate H.P. Lovecraft.
Not many people have even read H.P. Lovecraft's work.
That's I don't like H.P. Lovecraft's writing. I have tried to read H.P. Lovecraft.
Impossible Angles always drove me nutty. that's a whole
forbidden
separate,
angles.
It's a whole separate conversation.
It's a color never before seen.
Impossible Angles.
It's really, really funny that he wrote an entire book.
I remember being in high school in the library being angry. Impossible Angle? What the hell are you talking about, man?
Okay, no, I'm also just gonna put this out there. H.P. Lovecraft is either him or someone is recorded saying that he didn't take any math lessons because his constitution was too delicate, which is my new favorite excuse. Next time you try and make me do math homework, I'm like, sorry,
all right.
My constitution's too delicate, I can't do it. No algebra homework for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm still in algebra because I'm a baby. What of it? Mm. H.P. Lovecraft. The thing about H.P. Lovecraft is that you can't... And then the whole, like, Miku maid stuff, I hate that right now. Because the thing is, you can't divorce, like, J.K. Rowling Well, J.K. Rowling's a way better example than H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, no, my God. J.K. Rowling's a great example.
J.K. Rowling is a transphobe. Surprise. Mm-hmm. I thought we knew this already, but I guess not. Mm-hmm.
And a also, queer baiter.
Yeah. And, we've known that for a really long time, huh?
Yeah.
And an anti-Semite, which is really great and fun.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah. And so the thing is, well, you can't divorce that from her work because her beliefs are reflected in her work. For example, all like the Gringotts Bank goblins are incredibly anti-Semitic caricatures.
Okay.
They are just like disgusting. And I don't feel great. I don't want to, you know, talk about that a lot because I'm not Jewish and I don't really have the authority to talk about the oppression of Jewish people.
Yeah, whatever.
But, very anti-Semitic characters as well, caricatures as well as the her transphobia shows in the fact that basically the boys cannot enter the girls' dormitory, but girls can enter the boys' dormitory. And knowing that she is a transphobe and doesn't believe that trans women are real women is bad and weird.
Yeah.
And so you can't divorce her intentions from when she wrote it. I don't know if she was, like, intending to make a transphobic message, but regardless, her beliefs were still reflected in her work.
Yeah. Which okay. I can see that's a different thing to me, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different analysis of where the behavior bleeds into the work product. But, like, it doesn't. That's because it's not their words. It's not their stuff. It's their performance. Like, they're delivering a performance.
True. Well, there's trouble.
So Robert Downey Jr. does some nasty stuff.
I don't not like Robert Downey Jr. I like Robert Downey Jr.
I do, too. Like, but he's also redeemed himself significantly, right? But, so like, even when he was problematic or when, I mean, a lot of his stuff was more addiction. And so it's hard to put that on somebody. Yeah, like, that's not that person's problem. Whatever. But if a person has Mel Gibson, right, who's also anti-Semitic and has said like horrible things, and he has the whole thing when he gets a DUI and he gets pulled over and he says horrible things to the police officers like on tape, like it's bad, ridiculous. It's bad. But whatever, he said horrible things, and I think he's a Holocaust denier, and like I think he has all these things, right? But when he plays a role in a movie, like that's not coming out in. The way he's playing that role.
To do that still.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a different argument. That's a different argument.
That is another thing. It's a very multifaceted thing for me.
Yeah.
Part of it is, and some people can do this better than others. I don't care if you go see a movie that Mel Gibson is in, as long as you acknowledge that Mel Gibson is not a great person. That is my opinion. It's like, as long as you acknowledge it and interact with the media in a way that is, you know, the intentions of the person, and you know that it's bad.
What about somebody being a fan of Mel Gibson's work, but not a fan of Mel Gibson as a person? Is that okay?
It depends on what you mean by fan of Mel Gibson's work, because...
As an actor. I really like Mad Max.
I don't know what Mel Gibson's been in. I don't even know who's in Mad Max.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I have no idea what Mel Gibson's been in. I barely know who Mel Gibson is, my friend.
I like Signs, M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't like him.
I really like him.
I refuse to
watch. Is he problematic?
No, but he made Avatar.
Did he?
No, the last didn't. The movie, the Airbender one. Yeah. Okay. He made that movie, and so I cannot watch M. Night Shyamalan because that movie was so unbelievably bad. It's like watching Tom Hooper movies now that Cats is here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I think that
We Were Soldiers. Really good, Mel Gibson.
Sure. I think that it's weird. I understand it. I'm not going to be mad at you if it's the death of the author. I think directly supporting that person is
okay. Tell me the death of the author thing too. Like you said that a couple of times. Like what is that?
Death of the author is basically like the author doesn't, once a work exists and is published, then it is free for other people to interact with it in their own way and make their own interpretations of it. Instead of
the opposite of George Lucas.
Yeah. The author's intentions no longer matter. The work is divorced from the author. It is its own thing, and it is made for the consumer to interact and interpret it
in
the way that they wish.
Oh, that's what death of the author
is. Yes.
Okay. All right. That's
it does
good.
Not mean
I learned something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is, you can...
Not death to the author.
Death of the author. Yeah.
Right. The publication of the work is the death of the author.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
The work now exists.
They're cut. Yeah.
The work now exists in its own space. And I disagree with it slightly because if the author still profits from it, then you are still directly supporting the author, which is something for you to... That is up to you to decide. Honestly, it is up to you to decide. As long as you interact with it from a perspective of Mel Gibson is a bad person, but... Yeah.
Right.
As long as you acknowledge and the way that you're interacting with the work basically takes that into account, then I'm personally fine with it. I wouldn't. It's part of my... I have a very guilty conscience. Surprise.
Yeah. Right.
I'm tying back to the conversation we had at the beginning of this podcast.
Right.
I'm just a very guilty person. And so I don't love supporting people. Like, even knowing if they don't get any money, I don't love consuming things that they worked on just because it makes me feel like I am consuming work that they're supporting and supporting them.
Yeah.
It just feels bad. It just, it's more feeling guilty about consuming it than it is thinking.
Yeah, I think to me, and like maybe this is just cynicism on my part, is I think that, you know, at least half of people are problematic in some way.
I think,
and you just don't know it.
Yeah.
And so like you're seeing these other movies and you're all these other characters and all these other people are involved. And just because you don't know what their problematic behavior is, then you're okay with consuming that.
Right.
Versus you know someone else's behavior. Right. And so now you're walking away from it. Right.
I think that,
and then like what, like, I mean, there's, you watch the credits on the Avengers.
Oh,
right?
Filled with,
I mean, thousands of people on there.
And like, some of those people have to be bad.
Yeah, like there's bad people. Right. I guarantee you there's bad people involved in the Avengers. Like,
yes,
what's the level of person where you can, I'm not going to watch the Avengers because of this person.
I think it is
The best boy.
Major best boy. the best guy.
One of the grips is on there.
I don't.
Second unit AC was kind of a jackass. Said,
like, the best boy was mean to someone at Target.
And then like all those other people. Like let's say one of the main cast was super problematic. Like let's say we'll make up a name, Schmenedick Bumberbatch. Was
Benoodle Doodle Cucumber
was problematic in some way. And
surprise, whoa.
And what, so you're really not gonna see the Avengers because he's problematic. But then Robert Downey Jr.'s not making money.
But
and then you're taking,
he already
you're,
gets paid.
You're taking money away.
He doesn't get paid. Well,
I'm sure these guys get royalties too, right?
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so like these guys get some back end on some of this stuff. The big guys do, right?
Yeah.
And so you got somebody like, you know, the Hulk, who I like. Love that guy.
And his name is the Hulk.
Like the Hulk.
30
shouldn't not make money.
13 going on 30.
Because
lots of movies.
Because he didn't do that. And then, Natasha isn't going to make any money.
I don't want Natasha to make any money.
Oh, you don't? There's a problem with Natasha. Okay, I didn't.
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
Well, she was in Lost in Translation, and then she was in this movie called Ghost Story. We should totally watch Ghost Story.
Yeah, I don't like her though.
It was one of her early,
like, looking at her face
early movies, and it was really good.
She super just super sucks. Young.
It would actually be a good thing for you to watch just as a like young actress thing. I think Ghost Story's pretty solid. Steve Buscemi's in it.
Steve Buscemi's in it.
Yeah,
I love Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. But like all those people, like Wong, I bet that's a nice guy.
Ned. Ned is the nicest guy in the world.
Who's Ned?
Oh my god, Spider-Man.
Ned Rifle.
Spider-Man.
Ned. Yeah. It's like Ned's probably a pretty good guy.
He seems like a really, really nice guy.
Yeah. Peter Parker, whatever.
Tom Holland. I'm in love with Tom Holland. I know I'm a lesbian and also taken, but I'm in love with Tom Holland.
He's not Miles Morales, but so he shouldn't be in any of these movies. But
I love Tom Holland.
Seems like a nice guy, right? So why does he not get paid? Because, Schmenderbick Schmumberbatch is got problems.
I don't know. I think part of it is boycotting is also part of sending a message of being like, hey, we're not going to give you money if you continue to support, if you continue to pay and support Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Name drop.
Schmenderbick Schmumberbatch, you mean?
Benedict Cumberbatch. Or Scarlett Johansson. I think it is less about a lot of boycotting. I think you are taking it more as like, it is a moral affront to see this movie. And I think more of it is about sending a message. Boycotting almost always is about sending a message.
Mm-hmm.
It is about saying, hey, Marvel, drop this person,
right,
and we will start to see your movies again.
Mm-hmm.
It is less about, I don't want to watch a movie that he's in. It's more about sending messages, especially movies that are in the box office right now.
Yeah.
I guarantee you most of those people will.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, you seem to be okay with pirating those movies.
Oh, I love
though.
Pirating movies. Yes. Surprise. Is that allowed? Can I say that on a podcast? FBI, open up.
But like,
don't
that,
arrest me.
To me, like, it weakens your stance though, right? Like, I mean, I guess, like, you're making the statement, I'm not going to give money to that person, but you're still consuming their work and still, like, enjoying the product that they made.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
seems,
yeah.
that seems,
no, I use piracy.
That seems weaker.
Well, because it's about sending a message. Generally, if it's in a box office, I even don't have really, I don't love it, but I don't have a lot of moral obligations towards just, like, waiting until the movie comes out on DVD and then buying it.
Watching on Netflix.
Yeah. Like, I don't have
like, we pay for Netflix, but you don't pay per movie, right?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of moral obligations to that because you're not, because it's about sending a message to me. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if, like, there is a movie that has a problematic person in it who's been known to be problematic for a long time, I don't.
But it's also weird to not be like, I'm not going to consume your content. Because you're a terrible person. Like, that's what I thought the stance was.
But, there was also but a then million
you're
other
like, oh, yeah, we just totally pirated blah, 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 and watched it. I was like, what the? What? I thought you didn't want to. Oh, no, I just don't want to pay for it. What?
Okay. No, but it is.
This is getting a really confusing morality now. Yeah, I don't understand.
It depends
understand.
On if it is a movie, like, if it was a movie directed.
I think you're not super moral, so I'm going to steal.
From you. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. I don't think that pirating movies is immoral, but that's another thing.
Of course it is. It's theft.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I am going to establish now, I fully abide by Pirate's Code. Don't come for me. Fully abide by it. Leave me. I only really pirate movies that have a bunch of, that like, are made by rich people, basically. I steal from the rich. Robin Hood's Code, follow it completely. I have never pirated anything indie. Thank you.
Okay.
And I never will, never want to. Don't do that.
We should also have, at some point, I'll add this to my notes, but we should have a conversation about the whole, like, recording Broadway thing. That reminds
bootlegs?
Me of that. Yeah. Well, no, like, not guilty. Even bootleg. Not even bootleg. Like,
oh, yes,
like,
please record should Broadway. There be, oh, my God, do it.
Should there be official productions of Broadway shows so that people can see them. Like, it becomes a much less elitist.
Yes, I agree. I thought I had you a bootleg here, and I was like, guilty as charged.
Yeah, right.
Also, prefacing this, I only watch bootlegs of shows that I know I will not be able to see.
Yeah, I only do it from rich people. Oh, and stuff that I can't find anywhere else.
No, but like, well,
like Lizard Boy.
There isn't one of Lizard Boy, but also I would love to see Lizard Boy in person, but it is not showing, and so that's the only opportunity I would have. Right. Again, unless it's like some college production of Lizard Boy, I guess.
Sure.
Because they wouldn't do it at high school, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if it is a musical that is closed, I usually wait until closing, or if it is a musical that I just know will close before I can see it, because we actually go to Broadway.
Yeah.
We go to Broadway and see shows,
yeah.
And I make it known when I want to see a show.
Yeah.
And so if I can make the effort to support a show, then I will, but if I can't and I still want to see it, I'm like, I know that it's probably not great, but I don't, Life's too short to have morals.
But, yeah, right.
Quote from Russell Alexander, put that everywhere.
It's exactly like, I want to take a stand and show my morality, but I don't want to be inconvenienced.
Well,
I don't want to not see the movie because I want to see the movie. And so I'm going to watch the movie, but I'm going to do it in a way that makes me feel better
part
about watching the movie.
Part of it is sending a message. And part of it is about sending a message. And part of it is about not giving money to people who don't need more money because they suck. I mean, also, generally, a lot of people who don't suck don't need more money, but that's another story.
Sure.
But, like, it's just, like, it's very, like, there's a lot of other people who are involved in that movie, and that movie has merit as a work.
Yeah.
It has merit as a thing that is not, once it is devoid of all connections to the people who made it, and if, I'm saying, generally I don't support directors and primary writers.
Okay.
Who are, like, directly involved in creating and have the subtext of the movie.
Yeah, you think they like some of their things can bleed into the work.
If it is bleeding into the work, if it's an actor, then it's generally fine because their problematicness is not intrinsic with the work. And I am even fine. Like, again, I've read H.P. Lovecraft stuff. H.P. Lovecraft sucked.
So do you not buy into the, like, tortured artist thing? That, like,
no,
people with some, like, problematic backgrounds or, like, haunted, their demons make them better artists.
Depression.
Like, there's a thing about this person that makes them maybe not a great person, but it also makes them a great artist?
I'm going to say this now. I have depression. Wow, shocker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I am doing pretty well right now.
Mm.
And I have made the best work that I have in a long time because I am no longer super depressed.
Mm.
I'm going to say this now. I think that artists who have been, like, oppressed or gone through mental illness can make really interesting works about their experiences with it, but that doesn't mean that they have to be suffering to create it.
Well, like, John Green talks all the time, right, about the, like, trope... dangerous trope of, like, mental illness and the artist.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't go on medication, or you get off of your medication because don't you think that, it makes please. You a better artist, and that he has done that himself, thinking that, oh,
it also makes it impossible
I'm
to
not,
make art.
I'm not writing my next book. I'm not making progress, and so I'm going to stop taking these meds so that I can write my next book, and then I write 1,000 pages, and when I read them, they're all, like, nonsense. They're all crap, right?
Yeah. And also, if you're...
So, I mean, like, John Green, he speaks about stuff. That quite a bit, right? Yeah. As like, not even just depression, but just, like, not being on your meds and being a tortured soul is part of being an artist, and that's a very dangerous trope.
That, to, oh, and some of, if we're going to use Vincent Van Gogh here, because Vincent Van Gogh is the tortured artist.
Sure.
Some of Vincent Van Gogh's most famous paintings were created when he was doing better. When he was in, I don't want to call it an asylum. I think it was called an asylum, but that's not a...
Sure.
He was in a mental institution.
Yeah.
And he was doing some of the best work, and some of his most famous works were made when he was being medicated in a mental institution.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a Vincent Van Gogh fact for you. Not in Vincent and the Doctor.
Right. So you don't buy that?
No.
There may be something about that person's off-screen behavior that leads to their on-screen
people
excellence.
I know people, and I know of people who are great people and do their best to have the most positive influence on the world, who also make great art.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
no, that's fair. I don't think that's true either. Like, yeah. I think it's a trope that's out there.
I think it's dumb.
And people buy into it, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to be an ass to be a good artist.
Definitely not. I try not to be.
I don't think it helps.
I am kind of very rude, but I try not to be, and I'm doing my best to not be rude. And again, like, I think that some of my personal best stuff that I've made has been created when I'm doing good. I think that with people who have experienced mental illness and are making work about mental illness, like, obviously you need to experience that first if you're going to make something primarily about it. I don't think if you're going to write a mentally ill character, you don't have to be mentally ill.
Yeah,
if it's about mental illness.
Yeah.
I'm saying if it is about the experience of being, like, I would be uncomfortable with a white person writing a book about the perils of being a person of color. If they wrote a main character who was a person of color who's experienced it, but like the book was about something else, then it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah.
if you're writing about mental illness and you're a mentally ill author, you should probably have experienced it because it is about mental illness. And it isn't like a cheap metaphor for mental illness by someone who wasn't mentally ill.
Right. I don't, I mean, like, if you're good at research and you're good at, like, including people and understanding.
No, I don't think.
Like, you can have a person who has experienced mental illness, but they don't have a talent for writing. They could partner with someone who could write a book for
higher
them.
Higher sensitivity readers.
Yeah, who could. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, you can work with people to do those kinds of things.
I agree with that.
But, like, a person who's never experienced it and doesn't want to talk to someone who has and wants to write a book about it,
don't do that.
Like, don't do that, right? But you can talk to people and include voices and amplify voices and do those kinds of things. Like, that's, I think that's 100%.
Okay. Yeah. I think that, actually, I think that a really well-done way of it is Rick Riordan. Love Rick Riordan. Uncle Rick is one of my favorite people in the world. Don't do anything problematic, please. I love
What are
you.
We reading his new... Cooper got one of his books.
Is he reading Percy Jackson?
Right? No, a different one.
Magnus Chase?
No.
Cain Chronicles? Ancient Egypt?
I don't think so. Older?
What? Older?
Or a different, like, younger kids kind of book?
Oh, I think he has read I have only read his middle grade stuff. I apologize. I'm sorry, a fake Uncle Rick fan. Right. So there's Magnus. Is it mythology based?
He got one for Bookmas.
Is it mythology?
I don't think it's mythology.
Then I wouldn't know what it is.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
I'm sorry, I love Uncle Rick, but I don't
know. We got a lot of books to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so what Rick Riordan does is
we're going to finish the first Familiars book tonight, by the way. And it's Pac-Sahara.
Yes, it is Pac-Sahara. Why?
Because you always called the Pac-Sahara.
Did I?
Yeah.
I thought it was Pac-Sahara for a while, but it is Pac-Sahara. I just didn't know how to say the Sahara
Pac-Sahara.
Desert.
Pac-Sahara. Pac-Sahara. Yeah, but it's Pac-Sahara.
It is Pac-Sahara. It is spelled Sahara, like the desert. I just thought the desert was Sahara Desert.
And Calstaff.
It is Calstaff.
Not Calstaff.
It's not Cal. It is Calstaff?
I don't know.
I thought it was Calstaff.
I'll have to get the audiobook.
Okay. And did the authors read the audiobook? If not, maybe. Pronunciation doesn't matter. Because it's just some guy saying it.
It's Jeff.
It's just Jeff. Anyway, what Rick Riordan does. So Rick Riordan's whole shtick is that he writes books where they're demigods, they're children of gods from different mythologies.
Yeah.
And he wrote about Norse mythology, Greek mythology, and Egyptian mythology. And he has actually since sort of apologized for writing about Egyptian mythology because he's super not Egyptian. But he has connection. But he has basically, for other mythologies, so he had, there's now series about Hindu mythology, basically a bunch of series. There's Chinese mythology,
his?
I think. No.
Oh. Okay.
What he does is he has authors from those demographics and from those minorities make those books, and he publishes them with his like seal of approval.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically. Yeah, awesome. Right? Isn't that a really good way to amplify diverse voices?
Yeah, yeah.
And he isn't claiming to be Chinese, or he isn't claiming to know a lot about Chinese mythology. I think a lot of mythologies also that those books are, I think there might even be a Native American mythology book, which is a bad thing to say, and I apologize. I just don't know what Native American group the mythology
belongs to. Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's not a Native American mythology.
I know.
Like,
I'm saying that because I don't know. It is a Native American-based religion, and I don't know which one it is. And I could be making that up, but I think there might be.
Yeah, okay.
But what he does, basically, is he just publishes them with, and he markets them with the Percy Jackson books. And he just doesn't, he just says he didn't write them. He's just like, these are books that I'm supporting
that have
the same shtick that are written by minorities. And I think a lot of those cultures, too, are very heritage-based, which is why he wouldn't write them.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously he doesn't have authority to do
that. You want to talk about how there are no Native Americans?
Well, no, I don't. Because I know that's
there
not
are
the
no
right
indigenous
term.
People.
I know that's not
they the all word. Everybody came here from somewhere else.
Well, that's fair. We all came here from the ocean.
But even as people, like, we came here as people, right? Whatever.
Have you seen that one tweet that's like, it's so funny. It's like people who believe it has a picture of one of the first creatures to grow legs and leave land coming out of the water.
Leave land?
I mean, leave water to leave the ocean.
Yeah.
And it has a scientist illustration, obviously not an actual image. It has an illustration.
A photograph, like a Polaroid.
Epic moment. And it says, atheists be like, go grandpa, with the exclamation point emoji twice. And it's you have to look at the tweet to understand. But it's so funny to look at. Like, I don't know what it is, but it makes me lose it. Anyway.
Okay,
it's good. Right. For those of you who watch Mike's Mike, which I hope there's an overlap between our audience because he's great and funny, and he just took off. So, like, the algorithm went off.
Nice.
He does these meme folder videos where he just goes through his meme folder and explains what they are. I need to do that so much. It's so funny. Me and all my saved TikToks to my phone.
Yeah.
I saved this one because I'm gay.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I think so thing is, if you basically had a hand in creating it and your shittiness bleeds into the work that you made, then I feel kind of weird about supporting it. Like, I feel weird about seeing a movie that was directed by someone who was racist or like a rapist or something like that.
Yeah.
That makes me really uncomfortable because I know that attitude, also directors who are rapists, or are infamous for working really poorly. I don't like watching their movies because I know that those actors were treated like shit.
Well, I think too, like, certainly when it pulls you out of the work, like, that's the line for me.
Yeah.
Is if it distracts me from enjoying the work, then I'm
going to tell you this now,
but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that lighting is racist.
What?
Like, that grip. I know that grip is that lighting is like horribly racist.
Yeah, well, I know, but I think that actually what is different is that the threshold for my generation being taken out of it is much lower.
Oh, that may be true.
I think that is
we have the same
goal. Our threshold is lower,
but you're pulled out of it easier than
I think actors are also different because actors, well, they bring a lot of themselves to the part. We're not that special, you guys. Actors aren't that special.
Next time we'll have a good conversation about what's going on with your acting and stuff.
We need to do an MCR themed podcast at some point. We'll get sound clips.
We can do the MCR at some point.
That'll be great.
Yeah, but for now we probably need to kind of start wrapping up.
Yeah, it's been really long.
We're over now.
So, but I would spend time with my friends. Oops.
Yeah, no, this was perfect. This was a lot of fun, actually. I enjoy this format. This is pretty good.
I do too. It's pretty chill. It's just like, it's just talking.
I don't think we're going to run out of stuff to talk about.
No.
And so, yeah, we'll loop back and we'll do one here soon again.
Let's talk about My Chemical Romance again.
Yeah. We'll do that. All right.
Hi.
Cool.
I mean,
say goodbye?
Not hi.
Yeah. Aloha.
The opposite of aloha.
What, did you just ask me that? Like,
No, yesterday? I asked you what the opposite of howdy was.
Oh, the opposite of howdy.
All right. Oh my God. No, say it. Do it now.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
Thank you. And until next time, bear with us.